Psalm number 96. It's only 13 verses long. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord and bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, all ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. What a wonderful psalm that is. Amen. Now, in my Bible that I'm looking at, there is no inscription. There's no heading that tells me the background to this particular psalm. However, I don't need one because I already know who wrote it and what was the occasion for the writing. Psalm 96 was written by David when the Ark of the Covenant was finally brought into Jerusalem. You remember that the Ark of the Covenant had been taken by the Philistines during Saul's day. It's been away for a long time. And when David becomes king, they get it to Obed-Edom's house. I'm not going to all that story. But on this day, David goes down to Obed-Edom's house. They get the ark. They know how to carry it now. And they bring that ark into the temple. It's very joyous. It's very jubilant. And the story that story is told in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And on that day, as that ark is being brought into Jerusalem, this great celebration, David writes a very lengthy song. And he gives it to Asaph to put to music. That song is recorded in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And the passage that we have read is found in 1 Chronicles 16. This is just a small stanza, a small part of a much longer song that David wrote that first appeared in 1 Chronicles 16. So go back to 1 Chronicles 16 and I know exactly what he's writing about, why he is so jubilant when he writes this psalm. Now, as you read the psalm, you'll notice that there are three invitations that are repeated three times. Look at verse number one. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. So sing, sing, sing. Look at verse number 7. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. So give, give, give three times. Look at verse number 11. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. And let the sea roar in the fullness thereof and let the field be joyful in all that is therein. So there's your outline of the psalm. Sing, sing, sing. Give, give, give. Let. Wonderful psalm. Wonderful psalm. And tonight I'm going to deal just with the first two verses. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Whenever we deal with the subject of music, we almost always deal with bad music. Every time we preach on music, there is a warning to stay away from bad music. And that's needed. Because music is a very powerful influence on all of our lives. And there's a lot of Christians that struggle with listening to the world's music, and that is a temptation for them. Maybe they got saved. Maybe you got saved out of a sinful lifestyle that was a part of your life before you got saved, and that becomes a temptation, a struggle for you. I never listened to anything. I got saved when I was seven. I grew up in a home and was not allowed. So that has never been a temptation for me. I've never been tempted to country or pop or anything like that. But music is a very powerful influence. I drove the bus Monday morning. I took the coach bus and I drove up to Murfreesboro and dropped all the kids off. And then Brother Mike Gibson picked me up, took me to Nashville, and I flew home. But then Friday, Brother Corey, he's got to deal with it Friday and Saturday and bring them back. So he took me to Nashville. Now, I have flown all over the world. I don't know how many airports I've been in, but I have never flown through Nashville. Flown all around it, but never through Nashville. So I had 2 or 3 hours, and so he dropped me off, and I went through, and I got in. Place was crowded Monday evening, and I was there with all of the delays. I was there for about 5 hours. Finally got to Atlanta, got home about 2 o'clock in the morning. But I was in the Nashville airport, and I'm sitting there, and I got my laptop off to the side, and I'm watching people go by. And it was just something, Brother Jason, just saying, man, the way people dress, but it's not like that everywhere. But there in that airport, I mean, everybody, it was just the women, and it was just, it was raunchy is what it was. And why does everybody have a t-shirt about beer and booze and all of that? And I couldn't, and like, this is really nasty here. And then it dawned upon me, this is Nashville. It's the Mecca of country music. And all these people that are coming in and out, they've been to some, I mean, you got 3 or 4 women and they're talking about, they were at the honky tonk over the weekend and what have you. And that's what they were all there for. That's your idol if you're there. I'm going to tell you something, country music's full of hell is what it is. It just is. Yeah. Music has a powerful influence on you. Now, I'm not dealing tonight with the types of music and what is good music and what is bad music. I've preached on it a number of times. There are sermons out there on that you can go and listen to. Here's what I will say, okay? That if you are saved, you already know if the music you listen to is spiritual or not. And you know that because the Holy Spirit tells you that, right? So here's the thing. There is not a single Christian in here who really believes that country, rock, pop, whatever, is edifying to you as a believer and honors God. You don't believe that, okay? I'm fine with saying, hey, I'm tempted, or hey, you know, it's something that I struggle with. It's something I'm trying to deal with. But don't come out and say, well, there ain't nothing wrong with this. You know there's something wrong with it. You're just trying to get victory over it, or you're not trying to get victory over it. But I'm not dealing with music. Here's what I'm dealing with tonight. I'm dealing with singing. And what I want to do is I want to give you the positive influences that music has in the heart of somebody that loves God, and I just want to be the best Christian that I can be. And as we talked about last week in Proverbs 4:23, I want to keep my heart with all diligence, and this is a big part of it. And out of all of God's creatures, he gave man alone the ability to sing. Now, if you Google it, there's websites that says certain animals can sing, like the humpback whale or the hummingbird or whatever. That's not true. Singing is not making noise. Okay? Singing is words and melody. All right? And there is no other, they might have mating calls or something, but there are no other animals or creatures that has the ability to take words and put it into music and to sing those words. But God gave man that ability. And by the way, did you know that God himself sings? Well, he does. Zephaniah 3 and verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. And here's an amazing phrase. He will joy over thee with singing. That's the only place I can find in the Bible where God sings, and he's singing about his love for us. That's an amazing thing. We sing about his love for us, and I maybe he does so from the other side as well. So God gives man the ability and the nature to sing. I just looked up a verse while I was standing there, Psalm 47 and verse 6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. Four times in one verse, sing. Somebody counted all the references to music in the Bible, and they counted like 400 references to music and 50 commands to sing. I don't know if that's true, but I know that the longest book in the Bible is a book of songs. I know that two times in the New Testament we are commanded, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Now why does God talk, not just to say his praises, we should, but there is a specific command to sing his praises. When we come together at church, we don't just preach and pray, we sing. We sing at every church service. And you can have instrumental music, but instrumental music is not singing. You can have preaching and you can have testifying, but there is singing. It is putting words to a melody, and that's evidently what God wants us to do. Over and over and over, he says, sing, sing. No matter whether you can sing or not. Sing, sing unto him. Now, some people believe that the music should supersede the words. In other words, that the music, the instruments, is more important than the words. Put all of your energy into making the music upbeat and fun and exciting and lively and a praise band and all of that. And people that believe that, then they wouldn't like slow a cappella music. That would be dead to them because to them it's all about the music, the music. But there are some other people think that no, the music undermines the word. They go all the way over to the other side, like the Church of Christ. They use only a cappella music because there's no musical instruments in the Bible, and so they don't believe that you ought to have instruments. One of the reformers in Zwingli, or in Switzerland, who was Zwingli, he went so far as to ban all music instruments in all of his meetings. That was one of his things as a reformer. But I believe that music serves the words. That music and words are not in conflict with each other. And music is a powerful gift that deepens our understanding of the truth of the song that we sing. We could have read Isaiah 43, 1 and 2, you wouldn't get anything out of it. Perhaps. But when we sing it, we put it to music, it enhances our understanding of that truth. Now here's why singing is so important. For one thing, singing helps us remember words. Now some of you in this room, you are as old as the hills. But you remember little choruses that you learned when you were just a little baby. Some of you can remember lyrics to songs that you haven't heard in 20 years. My wife has an amazing memory of old songs. Now there was a time when my wife was not sanctified. Before she met me, there was a time when she was not sanctified. And my wife listened to music that was not godly music. Some of y'all did that as well. And some of y'all grew up on, I don't know, Elvis Presley or whoever, and you haven't listened to Elvis in years and years. I hope not. But you still can remember the night. When you go through Walmart, okay, and they're playing music, and you find yourself singing the words of that song from a former life, that's the amazing memory. I mean, we memorize Christmas carols and hymns and nursery rhymes. We have memorized so many songs and words that we don't even realize it. And your brain has the capacity to hold the words and memory of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of songs. And there is something about the patterns in music and our brains that are wired to recognize and remember that. That's the reason why we sing it. In fact, it's biblical. Go to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. And I know this would be more exciting to you if I was preaching against music, but I want to preach for music. So Deuteronomy 31, look at verse number 19. Now therefore write ye this song for you and teach it in the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land, which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves, and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods, and serve them, and provoke me, and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness, and it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination which they go about even now before I have brought them into the land which I swear. God said, listen, Moses, write a song and teach it to the Israelites about the wonders of God so that when troubles come upon them, they won't forget those wonders because it's in a song. Put it in a song so it will stick in their head, and God would use that song down the road to prick their conscience. Teach your children songs. They won't forget. Singing helps us to remember. And that's why that the music has to be, it has to be appropriate to the song for it to be practical. Come Thou Fount. That's a great song. That's one of the best songs in our hymnal. It's got beautiful words, but it has a pleasant melody. You could put those same words, Come Thou Fount of every blessing. You could put those same words in a rock beat, and it means nothing. Singing helps us to remember. And then, since singing helps us remember, then we should sing songs of words that God would want us to remember. Right. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir.
Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Since singing has such an impact on my life, then what words am I singing? Right? Well, whether in congregation or in private, we ought to be careful to vet the words of the songs that we're singing. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. What words do you want to dwell in you? As you go about the house cleaning or driving down the road or whatever it might be, and you're humming some song, when I wake up in the morning, there is usually a tune in my head. And it's usually going to be there most of the day. I'm just hoping it's a tune that I actually like. Huh? But what words do you want to dwell with every day as you go about? I'm telling you that any words that's coming out of Nashville or Hollywood, that's not good words to print on your mind. That's not the words that I want in my heart and that I want to dwell with me. The word of Christ is the word about Christ. So singing helps us to remember. And then singing helps us to engage emotionally with the word. Not only just to remember the words, but to connect emotionally with the words. When I was in grade school, I had to memorize all the beaver, beep, 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 I had to memorize all that. I had to memorize multiplication table. I had to memorize all of that. When I was in fifth grade, I had to memorize the Declaration of Independence. The whole thing. I had to stand up in front of the class and say the whole thing. I don't remember all of that. I do remember the multiplication tables, and I do remember all the beep, 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 has happened. I remember all of those, but I don't have any emotional connection to them. The multiplication table does not bless my heart. But music is emotional.
Right.
Music moves our feelings. Saul's spirit was calm when David played with the harp. That's the emotional power of music. So it's not just words. It is the music that affects our heart. That is why the style of music is so important. So you can sing Amazing Grace. Okay, but you can take Amazing Grace and you can put it to a fast beat, contemporary rocky tune, and it sounds irreverent. It's the same words. It's the same words, but the music has to connect. If you know music, when music is out of tune or music is out of sync, then it doesn't move you. Music is supposed to pick up those words and put those words in your heart and enhance the emotional appeal to your heart. One thing that singing does is it draws out the words and it gives you more time to think about the words. So I could get up here and I could sing and I could just recite. Wind, peace like a river, and I could just say it. And we just say it. But when we slow it down, and we sing, wind, peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Then we sing the chorus and repeat it. You are engaging with that song. It puts space there. It repeats those words. And the mood of the music matches the message of the song. Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. Put that to a pop tune and three electric guitars. It means nothing.
Right?
But victory in Jesus. Slow it way down. Drag it out. Sing it in a minor chord and make it mournful and sad. That's not how victory in Jesus is supposed to be sung.
Right?
So it helps us to remember words. It engages emotionally with words. And then singing helps us express our unity. People sing together in the strangest of places. Thousands of people who have never met each other get together in a stadium and all of a sudden break out and sing in some fight song at their favorite ball team. Or they're at the bar and some drunk starts singing and then all the drunks are singing. Or a bunch of teenagers singing at a rock concert. And the most annoying of all is when you go to a restaurant and they want to sing happy birthday to you. What's the dumbest idea that has ever been invented? How ignorant that is. But here's what singing does. Singing brings you together. Singing builds a camaraderie, even if it's for a very brief, short of time. We're expressing the same words and the same thoughts and the same passions. And I really believe that we're called not just to sing to each other, but to sing with each other. Every voice in the church matters, which I'm going to be honest with you, all right, that when we sing together as a congregation and there's somebody there that's not singing, they're just standing there, It makes me wonder, is there something wrong with that person? The question is not, do you have a voice? The question is, do you have a song? And when we come together, we are coming together as the redeemed, and we're singing, every voice contributing, off key, on key, we'll cover you up, but we're all expressing the unity of truth. And therein is the fallacy of a contemporary praise band. Because in a lot of churches, they have moved away from congregational music. And now we have seven people on the platform. And two men with long hair and three women with short hair and two electric guitars and one bass. And here we go. And they perform for about 15 minutes. Huh? And maybe the congregation joins in on choruses they don't really know. But it's replaced congregational music. Now we have special music. But it's not a performance. We are going to come and we are going to sing together, together. I believe that's important. Music expresses our unity. Now the minister is singing. Let me give this to you real quick. What does music do? Number one, singing reverences the Savior. Now, I don't know how you are. I'll use just myself as an example. When I go down the road, I get to choose where my mind goes. I can listen to a radio. I can sit in silence. I can play a playlist on my phone. I can do whatever I want to. And when I decide that I would like to sing songs today about the Lord, I believe that that reverences Him. When all that is in me just wants to sing to Him and about Him, I believe that pleases Him. When we sing congregational, trio, solo, whatever, the fundamental question is, who are we singing to? Is people your audience or is God your audience? Well, they never asked me to sing a solo. Why do you want to sing a solo? Who is it that you want to sing to? If it is God, you can do that 7 days a week. When we sing, our primary audience ought to be God. Sing to thy name. Sing unto the Lord. Sing ye to the Lord. Sing praise to the Lord. Sing praise unto thy name. Sing praise to the name of the Lord. Sing praise to thee. Make a joyful noise unto God. Make a joyful noise unto Him. Singing, make a melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. In most churches, the audience of all the music is the people. And there's a biblical basis of singing one to another. But the overwhelming majority of scripture is that we ought to sing to him. And here's the beauty of it. The beauty of it is that nobody but your mother would want to hear you sing perhaps. But when you sing to God, he likes it. He really does. When your four-year-old comes home from school or master's club and she wants to sing you a little song that they've just learned and it's three tunes and made up words and lyrics that make no sense and don't match, you love it. Because there's a song in her heart and she wants to sing it to you, and God likes to hear his children sing. I'm telling you, God likes to hear me sing. It reverences the Savior. I'll tell you what else singing does. It resists Satan. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now here's an amazing verse. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Look if you would in verse number 15. 2 Chronicles 20. And well, Jehoshaphat, as you know, one of the godly kings of Judah. This is during a time when several of his enemies, the Moabites, the Amorites, have joined forces to come against Judah. And when Jehoshaphat goes to pray about it, the Lord tells him, don't worry about it. I've got this. That's basically what he says. Look at verse 15. He said, hearken, you all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they came up by the cliff of Ziz. That's where they're at. Ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerusalem. I'd get glass if I wasn't so drool, if I wasn't so proud about it. Verse 17. You should not need to fight in this hand. Set yourself, stand ye still. See the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord and be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed down his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And so they get ready to battle. And here's what the Lord said. He said in verse number 19, the Levites of the children of Kohathites and of the children of Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose up early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Before they're getting ready to go to war, when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Here's what I just read. God said, tell you what, when you get ready to go to battle, put the singers in front. Let's lead with the choir this time. Huh? We're going to do this. We're going to put the choir out front, and we're going to have them start singing, behold our God. And that's how we're going to do it. And the Bible says that when they started to sing, now that's what it said, that when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes. You're not going to sing victory until you start singing. It could be that the reason you don't see more victory is you're waiting on God to do something so you can sing. He's waiting on you to sing so he can do something. I mean, Jehoshaphat put the battle in array, put the choir on the front. He said, we're going to conquer with the choir this time. Huh? Now, I got to wonder how that made the enemy feel. When they got up and they came out to battle, hey, they got the choir out there. What? What are you doing? This is a battle. Where's the infantry? Where's the footmen? Where's the chariots? No, we got the choir out there. I'm going to tell you something. If God is going to fight the battle for you, what else is there for you to do except just go ahead and sing? Just go ahead and sing. It resists Satan. Not only does singing reverence the Savior and resist Satan, but singing refreshes the soul. There is a phenomenon in this day and age that everybody seems to have a disorder. No, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a therapist. But we have more disorders than you can keep up with. And there are drugs. There's drugs to calm you up. There's drugs to fire you up. Drugs to calm you down. And Christians going to therapists and drug therapy. A pastor that I know of, never met, talked to him on the phone, has a very national name. Just this last week was forced to resign because he was addicted to Xanax, prescription drug. We have a disorder for everything. We have a drug for every disorder. I believe that I can identify the root cause of most of these disorders. It is self-centeredness is what it is. That's what I believe. Most nervous disorders and phobias are a preoccupation with ego. Somewhere along the way, we have come to believe that we are the center of the universe. And self-centeredness drives everything. But everything that is not God-centered results in trouble. Hey, you're not the center of the universe. Jesus Christ is. Colossians chapter 1, for by him are all things created that are in heaven, earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things created by him and for him. He is before all things. By him all things consist. Everything is created by him. Everything is created for him. If you take Jesus Christ out of the equation, put yourself in this place, everything is going to come apart. And that's the reason why so many Christians have so much confusion and mental issues and chaos in their life, because that's what they've done. But I'll tell you something, a person who lives with themselves at the center of the world can never learn to enjoy praising God. Right. It's all about me, all about me. You can't praise him without relinquishing your occupation with self. But when praise becomes a way of life, then the Savior becomes the center of your attention. When you worship the King in the beauty of holiness, something happens on the inside of you. It renews you. It refreshes you. It reinvigorates you is what it does. You can be having the worst of day with the worst of news, but if you put on some good, godly, Christ-edifying, Christ-honoring music and just sing, there is a power, there is an influence in that. You can't be bitter and mad at the same time singing to the Lord. It don't work. You're going to be one or the other. Isaiah 61:3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You ever had the spirit of heaviness? You ever had that? Just a heavy spirit. God says, I want to exchange the spirit of heaviness for a garment of praise. Praise will remove the spirit of heaviness. I believe that praise changes you. I believe that praise makes you a better Christian. Fresh is the spirit. I tell you what singing does. I'm done. Singing reaches the sinner. Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me, heard my cry, brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, established my goings, put a new song in my mouth, put a new song in my mouth, even praising our God. Many shall hear it. No, many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. I always thought that was interesting. You don't hear or see a song, you hear a song, right? He said, put a new song in my mouth, even praise of God. Many shall see. You see, your testimony is not walking down the aisle of Walmart singing Amazing Grace. No, your testimony is that life that's been changed. And that song that's in your heart. It's not that actual song, but it's what that song has created in your heart that they see. And shouldn't people look at us and wonder, how do they have so much joy? I know that they're going through a storm. How can they sing? I know they have trials. Why do they have so much victory? And that becomes attractive to that sinner who can't sing and who doesn't have any joy. Sometimes when we have church services here on Sunday, we go through the songs, and there are some songs that we sing that a lost person would not understand. Wouldn't understand. Hold the fort. Wave the answer back and forth, you know, okay? A lost person does not understand that. We don't normally sing that on a Sunday morning. We might be singing on a Sunday night. There are songs that they just wouldn't get. In fact, if you're not accustomed to church, you wouldn't get most of our songs. You wouldn't understand what are they singing about. That's okay. It's not that they have to listen to the words of the song and understand the doctrine of it. is they need to look around and see a bunch of people singing.
Yeah, right.
They may not understand it, but they need to know those people sure do believe whatever they're singing about.
Right.
And if they're convinced you believe it, won't be long, they'll believe it too. Singing is a great gift. It's a great gift. It's a most blessed ministry. And singing ministers to others. It ministers to God. It ministers to yourself. It exalts the Lord. It encourages you. It edifies one another. And I'm glad that we have good singing in our church. I'm glad when we sing tonight. Everybody just sing. Just sing. Just sing. I go to some churches and the singing is very tortured. They just don't sing. And I want to encourage you tonight to use your singing for the Lord.
Amen.
Here's the reason why. In eternity, you will either sing or you will not sing. You're going to die and you're going to end up one place. Heaven or hell. Do you know what they do in heaven? They just sing. You know what they do in hell? They blaspheme God. Heaven is a place of nothing but praise. Hell is a place of nothing but blasphemy. And for all of eternity, you're going to do one or the other. You're going to sing to him, or you're going to blaspheme and curse his name. God's given you a great gift that he has not given to any of his other creatures. You understand that? He has given you the ability to sing, to take words, put it in music, and sing. Could you imagine, Anna, come. Could you imagine taking a gift that God gave just to you and use that gift to sing about things that God hates? To take that precious gift, to be able to sing, and to sing songs that are abominable to him. I don't ever want to do that. I want to take that gift that he gave me. I ain't given any other creature. I want to take that gift and I want to give it back to him. In singing songs that honor him. I wish I could write songs. Julia's written songs. Wrote songs Sunday. Great song. Where would I be without Jesus? I wish I could do that. I wrote one song one time. One song. I sang it here one time. One time. And nobody brightened it. I threw it away. I'll never try that again. I wish I had that gift. I wish I had that ability. I wish I did. I wish I could play a musical instrument. I could practice piano for 20 years. I still wouldn't be able to play. I wish I could do that. But whatever gift God has given me, I am not going to take that gift and use it to do something that dishonors his name. It goes much deeper than just my flesh and my appetite. It is much, much deeper than that.